That's what this program is all about. And we do that every month. It's always on the first Wednesday. This time around, just as a special kind of treat for you, we asked Doyle if he would come in during this fun drive week, and he said yes. And in addition, we have something special to offer during this hour of Focus 580. Now, you know, if you listen to these fun drives, we're always trying to find something, some way to get people excited and to get them to make a pledge. And what Doyle has done is he has put together a little collection of recipes. We're calling Focus on Food on Focus 580. 10 recipes. And some of these, I think, are his recipes. Some of these are recipes that listeners have shared with us when they've called in. And he went back over some of the things that we've had on the show over the last couple of years and picked 10 recipes that he liked, that he thought were good, and that he would like to share with you. And we have made them up into a little booklet. He has set them up himself, and we will send you one of these little recipe collections with our thanks if you can call in this morning and make a pledge. Now, what we're asking is at least a pledge at the basic level, that's $40. If you could do more, well, that would be great. I mean, we would be thrilled. If you want to pledge 60, that's great. Yeah, well, heck, we'll send you two. 120, you know, whatever you want it, whatever you can do, whatever you can accommodate in your budget. That's you decide. That's for you to decide. But we hope that you would call in and make a pledge. And particularly if we have people listening who have not supported us in the past, if you could sign on here at just at the basic level, $40, that would be great. You know, if we could get everybody who listened to support us at the basic level, that would take care of our budget very nicely. Thank you very much. So that's the deal. And the number to call to make a pledge is this. It's 244-9455. And the area code is 217. You might need to tack that on depending on where you're calling from. So 244-9455. Call our pledge line. They'll just take a little basic information from you. It will take only a moment or two. And then with our thanks, we'll send you a copy of our recipe booklet that Doyle has made up for us. And we'll talk a little bit here during the course of the show about some of the things that are in the booklet. So you get an idea what it is you're going to get. So that's the deal. We'd really like to hear from some folks this morning. And also we had a challenge going earlier, and we can later on we'll tell you about how we're doing on that one. But just basically we had a couple in Urbana who say that they enjoy the variety of guests and topics that we feature on the show and would like to encourage Focus 580 listeners to support the station. And they said that they would give us an extra $250 if we could hear from at least 15 Focus fans. And I think we were getting pretty close. Now I'm sure with this special offer here, we can go way over 15. We should be 30, 40, 50. You know, we should just be burning up the phone lines. So do that for us. And let me see. Have I been talking here for a half an hour? I feel like it. Thanks for coming over. It's been some time with us.
Of course.
It's good to see you. And if people, by the way, also, if you want to call in on the show here this morning, just call in on the show. That's great, too. Same number as always, 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455. So if you'd like to call in, no one will grab you and expect a pledge. Of course, we'd like you to do that, but you don't have to. So, chili.
Chili.
That's what we said.
Today's
we
chili day.
Today is chili day, and it's definitely the right time of year. It's one of those things when
it is.
You get to a certain time, and if it's sort of cold and cloudy and damp and dank, you think
mean
to yourself,
if it's chili out, it's time for chili in.
My friend. Exactly. 4th of July, no. But around this time, yeah, chili. And the great one of the things that's a lot of fun about chili is that everybody somehow thinks that their version is the best, and there are a lot of different ways you can do it. So it's a fairly flexible kind of, within certain parameters, a fairly flexible kind of dish.
Yes, because it started from so many different points of view, and all those points of view are either, most of them are ignored because it's called my, you know. And it took me a long, long, long time to, as we've talked about, this is one of my favorite subjects anyway, is chili. And my mother's chili, of course, was the best in the world.
Of course.
But it was the simplest. And it was so simple that I could never make it. And I would try and try and try. And one day a listener called And she said, oh, it's very simple. You use 2 teaspoons of water. I said, no. It was very, very liquid. And very, she said, that's 2 days later. And I had realized then, I mean, it was an epiphany. I realized then that we never ate the chili when Mother made it. We ate it 2 or 3 days later. She had made brick chili, put it in the ice box, brought it out, cut it off as we needed it, and put a lot of water in it. And, of course, it was absolutely an elixir, like mm-hmm. no one. And it contains meat and 1 jar of Mexican chili powder. And folks, that's it.
And that's it. And then she would cook that and then put it into a loaf pan.
And into a loaf pan.
And so it would set up solid.
And I used to argue with my brother about that. And he said, oh, well, she had the meat specially. No, she didn't have it specially ground because I was always with her. Of course, I was the little brother. So I was with her and she didn't have it specially ground. But what I do remember is that she always had suet put into it. So there was a lot of suet and meat. That's what she had special ground. Please put a lot of suet in this meat when you grind it. So then they would grind it up for her, and it was just hamburger grind. It wasn't, oh, the chili grind and all that sort of, and you don't have to chop it, and you don't have to do all that. And so after I finally realized with the help of a listener that it was really very much like a duck confit, you know, where you cook that in grease.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so it was – this meat is flavored by cooking for a very long time, very slowly, with nothing but the chili powder, which was a commercial chili powder. She wouldn't have known where to find chili, but she did, and that was it. And then the rest of my story is that when I first came here to this town, there was a chili parlor on the corner where the student services is right now on something and 5th, right there on the corner where student services is. Conlon's Chili. Ooh, it was exactly the taste, exactly. Everyone tells me, oh, well, you know, your taste changed and maybe what was good to you wasn't good to anybody, but oh, okay, I'll listen to you, but I know better than that. And Conlon's made this chili exactly right. And I asked the fellow one night, he said, well, this is my father's recipe. It's not my recipe. It's my father's recipe. I said, where did your father get the recipe? And he said, in Texas in 1919. And I know that my mother was standing right beside him because they got the same recipe. So that's my mystery of chili. It always is just an excitement. So I try to make it, and then I get impatient, and I end up doing, as my father would sneer and say, oh, that's just chili soup. No tomatoes. Don't put that in it. Don't put this in it. Don't put that in it. That's just chili soup. If you want chili, you got to have this and this, and that's it. So that's my background from several years away. I've included a chili recipe in this collection, and it's a very rare recipe, because the truth of the matter is it's a recipe for green chili, but
it's red.
It's got some red in it, and it has tomatoes in it, and both of those things are not traditionally in green chili. This is a recipe that I discovered in Wyoming. And, of course, you know, I go out and eat, and then we sit there and figure out what it is. So brother and I figured out what it was in that. So I hadn't heard of red and green, so it has nothing to do with that. It's red green chili.
Not to be confused with red green.
No, not
which
to.
Which is a television show.
And also I have made a reference to where you can order green chili powder, or you can order a very good grade of chili powder from New Mexico, from Hatch, where the most popular chili is grown is in Hatch, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that in the book as well.
So what is the difference between the chilies, when you get the ground chili, between the red and the green?
Well, One of them is a red chili that has been ground up into a powder, and one of them is a green chili, which has been dried and ground up into a powder. And there is definitely a difference in the two tastes. I'm very fond of green chili. You can get that in little cans. And the recipe is for 4 to 6 cans, and that's not too much of green chili. You mix that up. But of recent years, there has been a manufacturing of green chili powder. And it tastes like green chilies, which isn't quite as sharp and hot as red chilies. Not really hot at all. And it's a very taste, but it doesn't taste like bell mango peppers. You know, it doesn't taste like green peppers. It is a taste, as it's dried and ground, it's unique, but it works quite well. So that's newly available.
All right. And that is one of the recipes in this booklet, Focus on Food on Focus 580, that we're offering for people who call in during this hour of Focus and make a pledge. If you can do whatever you like. We're asking sort of at least the basic, which is $40. If you can do more, that would be wonderful. But 40 is all it takes. And that is 244-9455. Now, that's the number to pledge, not to call into this show. But we'd be great if we could hear from some people. And if you want to call in and talk about chili, maybe you have a recipe that you'd like to share, or maybe there's some little, whatever the thing that makes your chili different from everybody else's, and you wouldn't mind sharing the secret with, 10,000 of your closest friends here on the air. You can do that. And we have someone right here to talk with on a cell phone. This is our line number one right here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I've had some people at the University of Illinois, expatriates from other states, advocate or tout Skyline Chili. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes. Skyline Chili is from Cincinnati. And it is a different kind of chili, because Cincinnati chili was invented by a Greek anyway, and so it really isn't a traditional form of chili. It has a lot of spaghetti. It's an oval shaped dish filled with spaghetti, then covered over with a chili that has beans in it, and then piled with the fluffiest mélange of grated cheese. It rises about 6 inches off of the table. It's huge. And that is a form of chili that was invented in Cincinnati. And the funny thing is, the farther away that you get from Cincinnati, the less spaghetti that is in the chili. And so up by Indianapolis, you get sort of a few broken pieces of spaghetti in the mixture of the chili. But the Skyline Chili is indeed a very great local favorite. And let's see, what do they call it? Who is it that calls it Chili Mac? Somebody sells a
they can it as a Chili Mac too.
It's what?
Just get the chili sauce.
Yes, it's just chili sauce on top of macaroni on spaghetti.
Right, you can buy it, Skyline brand.
Oh, you can. Oh, well, then that's what it is.
Yeah, but I'm seeing here on the internet here, and there are several places where you've just put in Skyline Chili. That apparently there must be. It looks like it maybe is a franchise restaurant.
It's a chain. It's a chain that comes out of Cincinnati.
But there's a picture of the dish, and it's just exactly what you described. Obviously, what is a plate of a big plate, an oval plate that has spaghetti, and on top of that is chili, and on top of that is a big serving of, and it looks like. It looks like it was extruded almost. It almost looks like pasta, and it's yellowish, so I'm assuming that it's either American or cheddar cheese.
Yes.
Something like that that's on the
But that's on the a, that is a unique taste to Cincinnati, and I think this just came to me. I think that another unique part of that chili sauce is that it has cinnamon in it.
And chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, and chocolate?
It tastes like chocolate, too.
It may taste like chocolate. That chocolate in Chile is a Baroque Spanish edition. So maybe there, it's probably not chocolate. It's probably cocoa.
Okay, cocoa powder.
Yeah, cocoa powder. Yeah, unsweetened cocoa powder. I put that in my American chili also.
Cause that's, do you use mole sauce?
I have used mole sauce, but not in chili. But I do put ground cocoa in a couple of things that I pretend that I want to be Spanish Baroque.
Now, the Skyline chili doesn't taste like it's got a lot of tomatoes in it.
Almost none. No, it really is much closer to a hot dog sauce. You know, a hot dog meat sauce. There's not a lot, and you don't get a lot. You just get enough to cover up the spaghetti. And so you have to go all through that and eat all that and mix it all up, and then you're getting all these tastes at once. But it is very, very good, and those people who love it absolutely swear by it. But you have to be a little bit closer to Cincinnati to be able to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my next trip through, I'll have to buy some.
Oh, indeed. Indeed, do it. They're all over. Skyline Chili is all over town.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Other questions, comments are certainly welcome here. It's a special visit from the man we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, usually here on Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month. We talk about food, and it's always something different. We wanted to give you a little special treat this time around. He is here in honor of our fundraising effort, and we're offering a collection of 10 recipes for people who call in and make a pledge. And later on, we'll tell you a little bit more about what's in there. But there is one chili recipe, the red-green chili.
Red-green chili.
Red-green chili is in there, too.
I don't know what else to call it. Invented the name. It's not. You won't find the recipe anywhere else. I'll tell you that for sure.
Uh-huh. Let's talk with someone else. And this person is in Indiana, line 4. Hello.
Hello. I'm hoping you'll be able to clear up some ignorance. You said something a few minutes ago, which rang a lot of bells in my head, and you said bell mango pepper.
Yes, sir.
Now, anecdote. When I was growing up, my mother made the best chili, too. But since then, I've discovered a lot of different kind of chilies, and luckily where I live here in Indiana, we have a drive-up place, a commercial that's been here for years that makes an incredible chili, which they sell by the tons and barrels at the end of the season. It's very good, but I was always trained to go to the AMP or what have you
right.
and get mangoes. And
yes.
Those were green peppers.
Yes, they were.
They
were called bell mangoes.
Okay, well, that explains something because my mother always called them mangoes, and I remember when I left Bloomington to go to graduate school down in North Carolina, I went into the AMP down there and was sort of lost, and I asked a fellow, where are the mangoes? And he took me directly to mangoes.
Yes.
And I looked at him, and he looked at me like, you know, well, there they are, fella. You know,
what's wrong with you? Haven't you ever seen a mango before?
Yeah. and didn't want to be, you know, I was already didn't talk right down there, so I said, well, thanks a lot. I'll just look around some more. Finally, I found the green bell pepper.
Yes.
And I'm just, my interest is that I've quizzed a lot of people in the extended family, and at least where I'm over here, we're east of Purdue, it's always been called a mango. And everybody sort of laughs about, you know, the problem there because they must have all run into it themselves at one time. Or
yes.
Another. But they never in the hell ever told you. He just sent you out to get mangoes, you know, in hopes that everything went well. And I was wondering, since how far back, I've never seen it listed as a bell mango. You know, that's what's troubling me.
I see what you're saying. They probably somehow, I don't think I've ever seen it written that way. I think it's mostly folk speech,
yeah.
and it's Southern. It's very, very Southern to talk about bell mangoes.
Okay.
And so you won't find it in the North, except maybe by people who have come from the South.
Yeah.
And generally it's referred to as a bell pepper.
Right.
And then, as I say, sometimes it's bell mango. And so they've They've shortened it. It's a speech thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's literature because I don't have any recipes about that. But it does cause a lot of confusion with people who like yourself. You say, well, I know I'm supposed to use mangoes, and then you go out and they give you a mango.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not know where the term came from. I don't know how. Maybe I'll be able to look that up one of these days. Except I just know that it is a regional term. And specifically Southern, and very 19th century.
Now, is the Bell B-E-L-L?
Yes.
Or B-E-L?
Yes.
It's the double L. Okay?
Yes.
Well, there's the shape thing. And I remember standing there with a mango in one hand and the green pepper in the other. And boy, I don't know who people were visualizing this, but they sure don't have my sensibilities, you know, and it's been that way for years.
Well,
thanks a lot. That's
sure.
Added a little patina to the whole thing, and which is nice because I'll start, and now that I know these two combinations come together, I'll start looking myself to see, you know, if somebody's got some, you know, where it first started, or maybe it came from the old company, you know, wherever. But thanks a lot.
Yes, you bet.
Good luck on the things. I pledged earlier last week, so good luck, fellas.
Glad to hear it.
Bye.
Very good. We're looking for your pledges this morning, one of the things that we have done is, and really Doyle, it did all the work, he put together this little recipe collection that we're using as an incentive to get people to pledge money to the radio station. And Doyle mentioned just one of the recipes. There's a chili recipe in there, but there are some others. Some of them are recipes that he has given on the show. Some of them are recipes that people listening have called in on the show, and I think he just went through some of what we've collected over the last couple of years.
3 years collection.
And just look for what you liked.
They're mostly sort of autumn stuff.
So that's the deal. If you'd like to have this little recipe collection, we'd love to send you a copy. All we're asking is that you pledge. Call in, make a pledge. Can be at the basic level, that's $40, or if you can, more. That's up to you. 244-9455 is the phone number to call to make the pledge, and we're hoping to hear from just as many people as we possibly can. And again, visiting here in the studio, Jack Brighton, fill-in host, Focus 580, internet web guy for us here, and AM 580 producer emeritus.
And I also like to cook chili, so I really like this red-green chili recipe. I'm going to have to try this. It's in this Focus.
It'll be a flavor that you'll be very surprised at and pleased at.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait.
But it isn't going to be like what you go downtown and buy, I'll tell you that.
No.
For sure.
And there's, you know, red-green chili, there's no duct tape in it. That's the other good thing. It's good, because I don't think that would be ingredient for any kind of chili.
With apologies to Red Green.
That's right. So we're asking you to make that pledge call. We'll send you a copy of this, 217-244-9455. That's the pledge line now. So when you call that number, you'll talk with some volunteers who graciously give us hours of their time to come in here and help us raise some money, keep this thing going here. We've got this good thing we've got in public broadcasting. Your support is necessary. 217-244-9455. Also, what is necessary is that we meet this challenge we've got. Let's check in with Kimberly Cronick, our outreach coordinator, who is in our pledge center. How are we doing so far? We got about half an hour to go on this challenge.
Hey, we're doing well. We're more than halfway there now. We only need to hear from 7 more listeners who become members to make that pledge challenge grant goal. $250 extra dollars if 15 people call in. Like I said, we've heard from 8. 8 people have pledged. We need to hear from 7 more by noon because a couple in Urbana has generously donated that extra money because they appreciate all the guests and topics on Focus 580. So let me thank a few people. Michelle Olson from Champaign, first-time member of WILL. Thank you, Michelle. Same thing with Andrew Kane of Urbana. He became a member just now. Thank you. Edward Sullivan from Champaign. And we also heard from a listener in Urbana who said, you know, they want to thank David and Celeste for all of their efforts. And we thank her for those comments. And we'd like you to call in right now. Remember, at a $40 pledge, you get the Focus on Food on Focus 580 recipe book. I'm hungry right now. I can't wait to eat some of the chili that's in the studio right here. Basic membership, $40. If you're a senior or student, you can't quite afford it. It's just $25. But we need folks, 7 people, to become members right now. 244-9455. We appreciate your support.
You know, and it's really good to hear that there are new members joining us because while we certainly appreciate the folks who have been with us for years and years, and there are many of those people who have contributed year after year, but as we keep saying, and I hope that the message gets through, our government funding is declining, and we must depend on the listeners to make up the difference. And that's actually a really good way to fund public broadcasting, I think, because it means that we are accountable. We are a community effort here. And your small contribution, $40 a year, that's 11 cents a day, if you look at it like that, far less than a cup of coffee. You can become a member of the Friends of WILL if you've never done it, especially right now. We need to hear from you. 217-244-9455. Make the pledge call. Also, let me mention the website address again, because if you're listening online or you just prefer to make an online contribution, you can go to our website, WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on pledge and go from there.
Just six to go, David and Jack. Just six more people to call in and become a member by noon, and we'll make that challenge grant goal of an extra $250. We're out well on our way. 244-9455. Thanks for those who've called in. Keep those phones ringing.
All right, very good. Well, we'll keep on here with Doyle, and we'd be very happy to hear from some people on the show. You want to talk about chili, you can do that. That's the same number that we always use. You'll come right here to the program, and we'd be happy to hear from you. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. It's interesting, just earlier when Dr. Bocek was here, just before we got going, we were sort of sitting around the office talking, and he sort of said, well, he didn't like chili. But then what we found out, what he was saying was he didn't like the beans in it. And we sort of said, well, there are people who think there aren't supposed to be beans in chili, that it's, as far as they're concerned, it's a meat stew. And in fact, there are some places that they don't use ground meat. They use chunks of beef. So it's another one of the things that, well, you know, if someone talks about chili, you have to ask, well, what do you mean? What do you think?
It ends up being exactly that, because each locale, I'm thinking that New Mexico chili is totally different from Texas chili. And all the people in Texas and in New Mexico will agree wholeheartedly is that there is a great, great difference between those chilies. And there isn't the same, and what's even more peculiar is that there isn't a recipe like anything that we're talking about in Mexico. They don't make this thing. This is why it's called, in many instances, it's called border chili. It stops at the border, and it was a mixture that kept being changed by the people here in on this side of the border, and you couldn't go get a decent bowl of Texas chili in Mexico at all. It just doesn't exist. And now I love green chili. I really, really like green chili, and I never was able to get that until I would travel in New Mexico. And I used to laugh at people who would say, oh, well, you know, you go in a restaurant and they're all calling out bowl of red, bowl of green. I didn't know what they were talking about, and I had never heard of green chilies. And but they are two totally different tastes. A green chili is generally pork and has a lot of thickening in it, maybe not too much, and is a sort of a clear soup. And the bowl of red is very thick, sometimes thickened with masa harina or breadcrumbs or things that thicken it up. Even some vegetables can be put in and thickened up, and is very red and thick and has a lot of beans and. But I wanted to say this to the person who doesn't like beans in the chili. Use hominy.
Oh.
That's corn.
Pozole.
It's like pozole, yeah. And you just put in a can of hominy, and it gives you a nice texture while you're munching away at it. It isn't all just thin nothingness. But hominy, it works quite well.
Huh. Okay. We talk with someone else on our line number one right here. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to mention the possibility of using textured vegetable protein as a textured soy.
Oh, yes.
That's dry, so that people who would like to try adding more soy to their diet, this is a good vehicle for it, because
what are those trade names? Boca?
Oh, well, that's one of them, the Boca. The
Boca
burger?
What I'm talking about is it comes and it looks like, oh, torn up dried breadcrumbs, sort of, except that it's soy protein.
Oh, it is. It's the soy protein mixture. Yeah. Yes, I was thinking of these things that have come out to be a sort of like a meat substitute with different brand names. Yes,
I don't know where you find it in the standard grocery store. I could find it at our strawberry fields and at Jerry's IGA in their bulk bins. But presumably somebody's packaged it.
I think that they must have. I do know that that is a reasonable product to make a chili soup out of. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, ends up looking like you've got ground beef in there, but you don't.
But you don't. Yes. Well, that's perfectly all right. That'd be good.
And the other thing that I do is you don't have to stick to these standard red kidney beans.
No.
I have beans, and they say it's good to have more beans in our diet. And I use a mixture of beans. I use black beans and garbanzo beans.
Oh, yes.
And red beans and corn.
And corn.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
I use a bunch of cans. I use canned tomato juice, canned beans, canned corn, and I add some other spices. And it's a fast dish for us, and it's something you can make in a big pot so you have leftovers.
I like pinto beans, and I don't know if that's particularly rare or not, but and then of recent the black beans have come in. We were able to get them in the last, well, oh goodness, what am I talking about? Last 40 years, yes, 40 years ago you couldn't get black beans, but we can now.
Yeah,
and they're quite good used in this cooking. But I have always been very, very fond of pinto beans. And I had an argument with my sister-in-law. She said that they had never had them. And I said, but we've lived in the same town, and I've always had pinto beans. Mother always cooked pinto beans. And she said they weren't available. But I don't know what she's talking about.
Every year we have a chili party. And
oh, yes.
Sort of a chili potluck. I make four big pots of chili, two vegetarian. I call them two for omnivores and two for herbivores.
Good.
And what was I going to say? Oh, dang. Oh, I always add lemon juice because it cuts the result at the other end of your body from eating too many onions. I put a lot of onions and garlic.
Oh, yes, I like that.
And because I realized that you use lemon juice on your hands to cut the odor.
Oh, yes.
I thought, because I was having a reaction from, particularly from French onion soup. I could not eat French onion soup. Becoming socially an outcast.
Uh-huh.
And I tried now adding lemon juice to things where I have a lot of onions, and it seems to solve the problem for me.
Well, I've never heard of that as a solution, but I can see why it would work. Exactly.
The other thing I do is I put out a little bottle of Vino
for
people, which is you can get it in a drop form or in a pill form.
In pill form now,
people
yeah.
People who are subjected to problems with their gut not digesting beans properly.
Yes.
That provides the extra enzyme to help digest it. So,
and it seems to work.
If that's the reason somebody doesn't like beans, that's a possible solution. Yeah.
That's good. Well,
okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And just to add to this whole list of variations, I was just going to observe that also it seemed like, I don't know how recent this is, but within the past, I don't know, a few years, I've been seeing more and more recipes for something called white chili.
Oh, yes.
Which is, it uses chicken.
Chicken.
Or I suppose you could also use turkey.
Turkey.
As your meat.
Yes.
And then it doesn't have any tomato in it.
No.
Other than that, the rest of it is basically this.
White, and white beans.
Yes, that's right.
White beans.
And then probably you'd use chicken broth.
Celery, and you could put some potato in it because the potato would cook down and would thicken it up and make it white. Yes, white chili is a very popular new taste. I think if I were making white chili, I would sure use green chilies. That would really be good with a white chili.
Ah. Very good.
To push it to a green, push the white chili to a green chili.
Okay. Well, let's talk with somebody else here. What do we got? Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I just returned from a trip to the southeast and had some great food. But one of my favorite places is Popeyes because I love their red beans and rice. And I just wondered if anybody has any idea how to replicate Popeyes you know, which is just a fast food place, but they make the best biscuits and they make the best red beans and rice.
I'm not certain of Popeye's taste because I think we had a Popeye here, but not for very long.
Yeah, we did.
It didn't last very long, right. And I never got to eat there. But red beans and rice is specifically a good New Orleans style of cooking. And you might look in some of the New Orleans cookbooks. I'm not sure, but I'll bet you that Emeril has a red beans and rice because I think he's talked about it sometimes. And I can't be very specific about it right now, but it is very special because it isn't just here's some rice, here's some red beans.
Uh-uh.
It's much more complex than that.
Yeah, and it's kind in the Popeye's stuff. It's kind of soupy.
Yes,
and it isn't real hot, but it has a lot of zing.
Yeah, it wouldn't be particularly hot.
Yeah.
Let me think. Does Zatarain's have a red beans and rice
doesn't
mix?
Doesn't come close.
I think it doesn't.
No.
Uh huh. Hmm. Well.
So maybe somebody will know Popeye's and will have figured out what the seasonings are. And we'll call in. So I'll
That's
hang
good.
Up and listen.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. You know, that is a dish that I have tried to make a couple of times, and the result I thought was okay, but I guess I was wanting to be wowed, and
yes.
It just wasn't.
And yeah, there's so much attention paid to that dish. You want it to be better than what you were able to make. I think that it's one of those secret things and traditional things. So I would go to find a traditional source rather than a commercial.
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are plenty of recipes out there for it. You know, so perhaps the thing is just to try different recipes and kind of see how, you know, if I finally get one that does give me that wow sort of.
Speaking
experience.
Of recipes, yes. I've got a lot of recipes here.
You want to talk
I've
about
got,
some of the?
I've got the recipe that everyone keeps asking for the correct ingredients in the Herbe de Provence, and one of my very favorite tastes that I have recently learned, the Kentucky sausage fruit cake, which should be cooked right away. I mean, this season. And remember the show we had on popovers? I have a good popover recipe. And the one on fruits in the summer, the summer harvest casserole, which really is good. I have made it. And it is zucchini and squash and tomatoes and onion and cheese and breadcrumbs. And you just simply layer them and press them down so that they're mashed down and bake them uncovered. Then there's a sausage sweet potato bake, which I think you would find really good because it has the sweetness of apples and a little brown sugar and then cinnamon in it and sausage and sweet potatoes. It, again, is a mixture. Then there's a cabbage salad that I fell in love with, somebody called in, a cabbage salad that you use fried cabbage in. And so you've got fried cabbage and a dressing, which is oil and sugar and soy sauce and vinegar. And then you mix that together. But there's one secret trick to it. It's 1.5 cups of slivered almonds and 1 package of ramen noodles. Throw away the spices and crunch up the noodles in this. And that's going to be put into the salad as well. And I remember the Swiss steak that got a good recipe from somebody that called in about the Swiss steak, which I'm very fond of. And pumpkin soup, which it is time for pumpkin soup right now, which is butter and onions and pumpkins and chicken broth and low-fat milk. That's all there is to it. Put all that together. Persimmon pudding. It's time for persimmon pudding. Remember when we did that? And then the chili. There's 10 recipes. You can find something in there to eat.
Mm-hmm. And if people will call in and make a pledge, let me give you that number, 244-9455. $40 or better, we'll send that to you with our thanks. And this is something Doyle has made up just specially for us to offer during this time on Focus 580 while he is here as a way of trying to get some people to go to the phone and dial us up. So that'd be great. We could hear from some folks. We have someone else here who wants to talk with us, a listener in Downs, line number 4, our toll-free line. Hello.
Hello. When you mentioned hominy,
yes.
I remembered a chili that I've made off and on. That is roasted vegetables.
Oh!
And it's vegetarian, and I just make a kind of a tomato-based chili sauce with onions and garlic, and I use dried chilies that I grind up, but you could just use chili powder. And then roast whatever vegetables you want.
Zucchinis would be good in that.
Zucchini, peppers,
and
onions.
Peppers, onions, yeah.
I've used mushrooms. I use portobello mushrooms.
Oh, mushrooms would be good, yeah.
Okra.
And okra would be great, yes.
Trying to think what else. I know I've used both kinds of, both zucchini and summer squash. Eggplant would be good.
Eggplant, yes.
And just, you know, chop them in cubes and roast them in a 400-450 degree oven. And then fold that into the chili sauce with some drained hominy.
You know, what might be kind of...
And some cilantro.
What might be kind of sneaky is let's cross over some country barriers. There is a Greek dish where you put these vegetables to roast. It takes a long time to do them, but they are sprinkled with tomato juice, and somehow the tomato juice sort of dries up as it's roasting. But those particular vegetables are exceedingly refreshing because they've got this extra taste. That might be kind of a neat thing to fold into your soup.
Probably would be.
It would work. That would be good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much.
Roasted vegetables are so good.
Well, that's true. See, that's
so
true.
So good.
It brings out something that you just don't.
Yeah.
Partly, I guess, is for some things that they have some sugar in them, so it caramelizes that a little bit.
That will get another thing
there. But I don't know. A roasted potato You just dress it with a little olive oil and put a little salt on and pepper on there and then put it on a pan and put it in the oven. And you got something there.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
There. All right. Other calls? Someone wants to call us real quick to get in. 333-9455. That's our local number, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Is there something that you think, you know, in the chili that you make that is makes it different from anybody else's?
Yes, I don't put all the other stuff in it. It's meat and chili powder.
Okay. It's your mom's.
Oh, for that, yes, my mother. You mean the red and green chili?
Well, whatever one you.
Well,
because
that,
I know that you've made chili and brought it in before when we talked about chili.
Yeah,
and actually, I think I learned a couple things from and I as I was working on, you know, the way I like to make it. I think some things that I picked up from you, as a matter of fact.
I wonder what it was.
I think the main thing, it was chocolate. I put chocolate.
Oh, that
I was already
that
putting
one.
Cinnamon
yeah.
in my chili, but now I also put a little bit of the unsweetened ground cocoa in there, too. And it adds a certain bottom note in
yes,
there.
Yes, it does.
And
yes,
it doesn't.
It does,
you wouldn't taste it, and somebody say to you, "You put chocolate in this."
Uh-huh,
no,
uh-huh.
That's not going to happen. But it does. It lends a certain.
I think I remember what it was. I think I brought what I have now called my American chili. Remember it was red, it was turkey.
Yes,
because that's a new world.
That's right.
And it was green chilies. And turkey, and there is garlic, and there is oregano, and tomatoes, their new world, and the hominy, that's included, and the chocolate. Yeah, that's what it was.
That's
it was
what
my
I'm
American
thinking of.
Chili recipe.
That was very good. That's very good.
Someone has just come in here with Popeye's red beans and rice. Now, what is it that they are using? That would do it. Chili powder and cumin, extra cumin with chili powder. Chili powder has cumin in it. This has more cumin and a dash of garlic salt. And that's what it is. Chili powder, cumin, and garlic salt is what Popeye's red beans and rice has in it. 2 cups of Uncle Ben's long grain rice, 1 16-ounce can of red chili beans in chili gravy, and 1 teaspoon of chili powder, and 1/4 teaspoon of cumin, and a dash of garlic salt. Mix it up, add warm rice, and mix. It's very simple and straightforward.
Hmm.
And that's called Popeye's red beans and rice. So I think that the thing that pleased the listener was that wonderful extra taste of cumin.
Try it out. Let us know what you think.
There you have it.
We have a couple of other callers. We'll see if we can get at least one. One here in Mattoon. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Looking for a good brand off the shelf of red beans and rice. Lysander's is a very good brand.
And it's already in a – is it in a can or a mix?
It's a mix. It's a packet.
Uh-huh.
Ice beans and a spice packet.
Lysander's.
And Schnucks has that.
How do you spell it? L-Y?
Yes.
Lysander. Lysander. Well, there you have it.
And the other thing I like to put in my chili is a little bit of clove.
Clove.
Gives it a little bit of earthiness.
Yes. I would have generally have thought that the Mexican cinnamon was the thing that people would like it. But, yes, a little touch of cloves would do it, wouldn't it? That sounds very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, let's do one more here. Champagne, line two. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I was just calling in with a kind of another chili recipe. I grew up in San Diego.
Oh, yes.
We had a lot of Latino in the neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
And I learned to make chili from my neighbors, which was a variation from what they made in Mexico. And there was no tomato in it.
Nope.
But it was a real fast chili that you could make and have on the table in a half an hour, 40 minutes. And it was very tasty, and when I've made it, it's been a big hit for potlucks and stuff. But it's just a good brand of ground beef, you know, not too much fat, with some finely chopped onion and garlic. And then you season it with cumin and quite a bit of chili powder and oregano.
Yes, and oregano, huh?
Uh-huh. And then you add the, a can of red beans and a can of pintos.
Okay, red beans. Mm-hmm.
The small ones, not the kidney.
Right.
Yeah, and then the pintos. And
pintos.
And then you put a lot of water in it, just quite a bit of water to cover. And when you put that water in it, they would put a beef base in it, like a nice big heaping teaspoon of beef base.
Beef base, uh-huh.
And then also season it extra with onion powder and garlic powder. That was the ticket. And then, of course, your salt and pepper. And then they would thicken it with cornmeal at the very end.
Cornmeal, yes, or masa harina, yes.
Right, and add about a tablespoon of vinegar.
Vinegar, right, yes.
And that was it. And you add the vinegar right at the very end.
Right.
Turn the flame off, and it does something. It piques the flavors of everything.
Well, not only that, but it also remember the caller at the very beginning who said that she'd been putting lemon juice into the things with beans.
Right.
Vinegar is the same thing. The Greeks make a soup that vinegar is put in at the very end, and it's a lot of lentils. And what a taste that is.
Yes.
But it's it relieves some of the anxiety of not feeling very well. So vinegar works that well.
Yeah, I just thought it always sort of piqued the flavor.
It does indeed.
Yeah, and I use it in my lentil soup as well, just a little bit of vinegar.
A little bit of vinegar, that's exactly it.
You can overdo the vinegar and then you're in trouble.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Be discreet.
Yes.
Well, that's very good. Thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed the show.
All right. Well, thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, we're just about the point here we're going to have to wrap up, but we do have a couple minutes left to, again, encourage people to call in, make a pledge of support to the program and to the station. You can get the recipe collection that we have talked about and our thanks for supporting us here on Focus and on AM 580. And it's really easy. We'll take a minute or two. If you haven't yet made a pledge, we hope that you will do that. We're sort of coming down to the wire here in this fall's fundraising effort. And if we're going to meet our goal, we're just going to have to hear from as many different people as possible who listen. We'd like also for you not just to be listeners, but to be supporters of the station. So that's the deal. The number to call, 244-9455. Call in, make a pledge. And again, here in the studio with me is Jack Brighton.
That's right. And why don't we check in real quickly and see how we're doing, because we have had a challenge to hear from 15 people during Focus today. Kimberly Cronick is our outreach coordinator. And Kimberly, how are we doing on that challenge?
We're doing great, Jack. We just made the challenge.
Right.
We heard from 15 people who became members during Focus 580, and I've got to thank a bunch of people because this is just incredible. Because we met the challenge, a an Urbana couple has given WILL an additional $250. And that's just so great because we're at $82,000 for this drive and we need to reach $90,000 by the end of today. So this helps us get there, over $850 raised during Focus. So let me thank Carol Shupp from Urbana and Rosemary Nolan from Savoy, Brigitte Piquet from Urbana, Sherry Stringfellow from Washington, Linda Larson Champagne, Russ Prozell from Mount Zion, and our 15th pledger, Mary Hackett from Kansas, Illinois. Thank you all for your contributions. There's still time to call and get that recipe booklet for a pledge of $40 or more, 244-9455.
You know, I'm always amazed that, you know, we have this goal for the week, $140,000 raised, and people might think, well, my $40 contribution is like a drop in the bucket when you talk about $140,000. But the truth is, that's how we do it. That's how we do it every time we do this pledge drive. Twice a year is the only time we ever come on the air and hold out our tin cup. But every time we do it, it's based on those small contributions each individual makes to the station. When you call with your pledge, 217-244-9455, you are adding a drop in the bucket that adds up to a full bucket. And that's what we're after here. By the end of the week, your contribution of $40, or if you can afford more than that, we certainly wouldn't turn that down. Again, your pledge call right now is the way to do it. 217-244-9455.
I want to make sure before I run out of time, there are some other people I want to thank, and we can continue. We want to continue to encourage people to call, but I want to make sure that people know that our program is made possible by grants from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, the Bean Scene Cafe, Pray Fire Glass, all in the same buildings in downtown Monticello. The program also, we get help from Strawberry Fields in downtown Urbana. Their catering department now offers boxed lunches for professional meetings or casual lunchtime gatherings. Their number is 328-1655. And the broadcast is made possible by a grant from Horine's Pianos Plus, your Steinway piano showroom in Bloomington. Horine's Pianos Plus offers new and pre-owned pianos by Steinway & Sons, Boston by Steinway, other fine pianos. But of course, we want to thank all those folks. It's great. We have the support of a lot of businesses. But let us not forget the support of listeners, just individuals, families, people who listen, who tune in every day and expect Morning Edition to be there and Focus and Afternoon Magazine, All Things Considered, and all those other programs. Well,
yeah, you know, absolutely. And let's thank Doyle Moore, who's been coming to do the show here for 20-some years now.
It was 27 the last time I came.
Yeah,
I think he's one of those people that pretty much goes right back to the beginning of virtually the beginning of Focus 580.
That's right.
When we were just even 1 hour a day.
He makes it a community program. I mean, this is an opportunity to really share recipes, ideas, and stories about food and cooking.
Absolutely. So, well, there we will leave it. One more time, I'll give you the number, 244-9455. Please do call, make a pledge, and we'll be happy to send you out that recipe collection. That's just a special here for Focus. Well, it's still technically Focus. You can keep calling, but we want you to. And of course, we want you to support Afternoon Magazine, which is the program that comes up next. Celeste Gwynn is the host.
Thank you, David. Coming up today in the 1 o'clock hour of the Afternoon Magazine, our monthly Computers and You program, I'll welcome questions for Greg Klein. He's the science and technology reporter for the News Gazette. We'll take your calls following the 1 o'clock news. Later this afternoon, I'll talk with Gretchen Helfrich, host of Odyssey, the talk show from Chicago Public Radio that follows the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. That program.